Youth are not simply the future of the pro-life movement, they are its present. We'll see an example next on Gospel of Life. Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined, as usual, by our Associate Director, Janet Marana. And today we have a very special guest who comes from Fredericksburg, Texas, and is an activist in the pro-life movement, a young activist. Her name is Monica Dixon. Monica, welcome to the program.
It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you. And Janet, of course, we were with Monica recently at a pro-life conference, and
That's
we've
right.
been with you on a number of different events, and thought it would be great to have Monica join us for this program and talk about what motivates you to defend the unborn, which of course is the topic we talk about all the time on this program.
Well, Monica, you know, when did you first be just aware of the abortion issue, like where abortion was wrong? When did you first your first memory of that?
Well, my family has always been very pro-life. My mother was the co-director for Right to Life in Corpus Christi, I do believe. Mm-hmm. And that was during the rescue period. And my dad was actually in jail for, I think, about a month during the rescues for rescuing. So it's always been very much in my family. I grew up hearing about the rescues, and it's just always been there. I've always been taught that it was wrong. My mom did Gabriel Project, which is like a crisis pregnancy, where they bring in women who need help. They're not always considering abortion so much, but they still help them. They give them money and food and mm-hmm. clothing for their babies so that they can help them through their pregnancies. So I grew up around a lot of pregnant women and girls who were considering abortion, but my mom helped to talk them out of that. And so I just always knew that it was wrong. But as I became older, I became to grow more aware of the fact of what it meant, what abortion meant to me, and the fact that I am a survivor, that even though my mother didn't consider abortion, that I still could have been aborted.
Right. Because of the laws in our
country.
Yeah,
because of the laws in our country. I could have not been here today because my mother could have chosen abortion. And I realized that there's so many people who could have been my friends, could have been in my class, could have done so many things that we'll never get a chance to because their mothers did choose abortion over life.
Let's talk about that a little bit because we often talk about the survivor syndrome here on this program. And I mean, do you remember the time when you first put two and two together in your own mind, when you realized that abortion is the killing of the baby in the womb, mm-hmm. that you used to be a baby in the womb, mm-hmm. and that when you were, abortion was legal. Do you remember the first time that kind of all came together for you, and how did that make you feel?
It was terrifying, really, to think that in the womb, which is supposed to be the safest place on earth, I could have been killed. I could have been taken out of the womb and killed and disposed of as nothing. And that terrifies me, the fact that I, as much as anybody else, could have been that baby that was aborted.
So it's like the law and the Roe v. Wade decision is not, for someone like you, it's not just an abstraction. It's an insult.
It is. Yeah. I've heard before that Nick Cannon says that he's not pro-life, he's pro-Nick. Well, that's true. You know, in days like this, you have to be not only pro-life, pro-life is to be for yourself, mm-hmm. because if you're not pro-life, then you're saying, well, I'm all right with having the fact that I could have been killed in the womb. That's just fine.
Of course, for those who don't know, Nick Cannon, they made this music video as we've talked about, called Can I Live, about his mom's decision not to abort him.
That's right.
So he's a survivor.
So, Monica, when, from your parents being such activists, what's your first memory of you actually saying, well, I want to get involved too, and what were your first activities?
Well, seeing as how my mother was in Gabriel Project, I was homeschooled most of the time that I was growing up. So I was actually very active in helping the girls. Like, I would always go with my mom to the girls' houses. I would take part in buying things for them and things like that. So I've always been very active in that sort of thing. Let's think. I'm trying to think of the first time that I really did something big. I've been to the mills before, and I prayed at the mills.
And we prayed together at the
mills. Yes, we prayed together at the mills.
In Amarillo.
Yeah. And that was a big thing for me, to really be there and feel that presence at the abortion mill.
And now, when you say pray at the abortion mill, we know you were there with other pro-lifers, and you were praying for the, obviously, for women to change their mind. But there were also people called Sidewalk Council there, so that if a woman wanted to talk, there was someone to kind of offer real choices, right?
Yes.
When you're out there praying, did you ever witness, because people talk about that, well, what good is done by us praying outside of abortion mills? Have you seen anyone, a baby saved?
Well, lately, when I was here in Dallas at a pro-life boot camp, we were bused out to an abortion mill in, I think it was Fort Worth. Yeah, it was Fort Worth at that point. And whenever we were out there, we had been praying for probably about 30 minutes, and we had just gotten through rosary, and we were doing singing outside of the abortion mill. And a young couple walked up, and she was showing, so they were probably pretty late in the pregnancy. But they began to talk, like one of the sidewalk counselors came up to her and approached her. And the man wasn't really talking that much, but the girl was, and she was definitely open-minded. And they talked to her for quite some time. And then at the pro-life boot camp, there were probably about 60 of us or more. So we were switching out. Like, one group would go pray at the abortion mill, and then the other group would come in a bus, get out, and then we'd go onto the bus. Mm-hmm. So I was put onto the bus at this point when they were still talking to her, and was taken to one of the pregnancy centers nearby. But while we were on the bus, we did, it was an emergency novena is what we called it. Mm-hmm. And we prayed nine of these prayers, I'm trying to think of what it was called, while we were on the bus. And then one of the lady who was sidewalk counseling, drove to the clinic to come see us and told us that it ended up being a save. So,
isn't that great?
Yeah, it was a very good feeling.
We made that point all the time. We encourage our viewers to go to the nearest abortion mill, especially on a Saturday, because we know the other pro-lifers are out there praying. Join them in prayer, because we know that a lot of the women going in aren't really looking for an abortion. They feel they have no other choice. So there's, like, in that case, sound like a boyfriend or a husband pressuring her to have that abortion. And if there's people there praying and witnessing, that's what they need. Someone just offering them another choice, you know?
Well, we had sitting right in the chair you're in right now a child who was saved from abortion.
That's right.
We had her on this program. Her name is Guadalupe.
Wow.
The viewers, I'm sure, will remember that if they watch our Gospel of Life programs. Monica, you want to do now, first of all, tell our viewers how old you are.
I'm 13. I'll be a freshman this year.
Okay. And you have some plans of organizing your friends, your fellow students for pro-life activities. Tell us what some of those plans are.
Well, in Austin, which is about an hour from where I live, there is, I think, 6 or 7 abortion mills, which is quite a few for the state capital of Texas. Mm. And I had this vision to get together youth to go and pray at one of the abortion mills, hopefully nearest one of the college campuses, because we could minister to the young ladies who are coming into the abortion clinics. But my idea was to get together a group of Catholic pro-life and a group of Protestant pro-life kids, because I belong to a Catholic church, but I go to a Protestant youth group. So what my plan was to get these kids together and get these kids excited about the pro-life mission, and then merge them together and take them to the clinics together to pray. So it'd be a unified mission, not just Catholic, not just Protestant, because I believe that if it's just Catholic and just Protestant, you're not going to do anything because there's still division. So if it's unified, that way if there's Catholic girls coming in, you can talk to one of the Catholic kids can go talk to her. If it's a Protestant girl, then the Protestants can go and talk to her. And it's going to work out very interestingly. I'm looking forward to seeing how everything plays out. We have to plan different prayers and things. for the Catholics and for the Protestants that we can pray together. So.
Now, you've already taken some first steps, right? I think you've spoken to the minister
yes.
and the priest. Because, you know, there might be other young people watching mm-hmm. right now, Monica, who say, hey, maybe I could do that.
Yeah.
So first step is you have to talk to the ministers
yes.
involved. Right?
Yeah, I've talked to the priest about it. And he's very excited. I just told him what my idea was, and he said I basically have permission to do whatever I want with this, just as long as I can do it. So hopefully what's going to happen next is I'm going to talk in church and try to get the youth together from the actual masses instead of just the youth group so that I can get more kids to go. And then for the Protestant group that I'm taking, since I belong to their youth group, almost all of their youth go to this youth group. So I'm just going to speak once or twice at the youth group and try to get kids riled up to go. And then I'll have a general planning meeting with all of them, tell them what we're going to be doing, show them a video probably about abortion and facts, and just talk to them. And then we'll get together one more time and go to the actual clinics and see how it goes from there.
Well, you know, we had sidewalk councils on our Gospel Life program in the past, and we have some great footage, which I'm sure, Father, we could lend them to show at that meeting of this is what sidewalk counseling looks like,
yeah,
and this is what happens
great.
In the
yeah.
mill. You know, because so often people are afraid to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think it's something terrible is going to happen to them, and we encourage them that, no, lives are saved, and it's a very simple activity.
Yeah, the first time I went, I was terrified because you just have this feeling of what will people think of me? You know, because you're at this teenage age, and that's so important. And yet I've come to realize that it's really not, and that it's more important to save the life than to be worried about your own self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. Now, you're also a great singer. Tell us about that. You love music, don't you?
Yes, I do love music. I cantor at my church, and I also sing in choir. But I'm hoping to get to learn the guitar or get somebody to accompany me. I haven't worked that out yet. But so that I can actually sing around my town and maybe go to other places. I don't know yet. But I do love singing, and it's an exciting thought to get to actually go places with my voice.
And to use that in the service of life.
Yeah, in the service of life, to use that for God.
Yes.
So.
That is great. Well, what would you like to say to other young people watching right now to encourage them to get involved?
Well, I would encourage them not to be afraid, because I think so many times that fear is what keeps us from doing what's right. And I encourage them not to be afraid and not to worry about what other kids say to them for doing it. And I encourage them to stand up for life. Because if they're standing up for life, then they're standing up for the culture of life, which is against this culture of death that we live in. And if they're standing up for life, they're standing up for themselves. So I encourage them to be fearless and to get out there, whatever they can do to get out there and do it. If they live an hour away from an abortion mill, go get a bus of youth together once a month and go pray at the abortion mill mm-hmm. and go be there. Because it's not so much that you're praying, it's the mere presence of you being there that can save lives and can save babies and save the future generation. So I encourage them just to get out and go and pray or to go do whatever they can to go minister to others about the gospel of life.
Well, thanks for your commitment to activism. We look forward to being partners with you in everything that you're doing and to help you and your friends to do this work.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back, brothers and sisters, after this break. Please stay with us on Gospel of Life.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Happy birthday to you. The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome back. Brothers and sisters, on gospeloflife.com, our website for this ministry, we invite you to send us your questions and comments. And every once in a while, we want to take some time on these shows to answer those questions. So, Janet, what do we have in the mailbag for today?
Well, we have Michelle from Los Angeles writes the following question, Father. How can I get training to become a sidewalk counselor?
Well, good. That ties in very nicely with what Monica was saying just now in our interview, because she and her friends want to do sidewalk counseling, which, Janet, as you know, is simply, first of all, based on showing up. I mean, to show up at an abortion mill and to stand there in prayer and in witness is enough to save a life, and it really doesn't require any training if that's what you're going to do, because many of these women, as you know, some of those in the Silent No More Awareness campaign have said that on the morning of their abortion, they were praying to God, and they said, if you don't want me, Lord, to do this, then send somebody to be there to tell me not to do it.
That's right. Sometimes they're just looking for a sign, or the sign would be maybe the person praying. And sometimes they're just looking for help.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes when people say, how do I become a sidewalk counselor? Well, you're there in prayer. And if you see a woman, just make eye contact and say, can I help you? Would you like some help? Do you know there are people who offer resources? I mean, there's this couple of phrases, short, that you can say.
Well, if the person is going to start talking to or approaching the one who's coming in for an abortion, there is, of course, a lot of experience in this now. Ever since, even before Roe versus Wade in 1973. And groups have offered and do offer training in sidewalk counseling. First of all, our friends in Chicago, the Pro-Life Action League, and we'll put links to these all on our gospeloflife.com webpage. The Pro-Life Action League has a video, No Greater Joy, and